Welcome everybody back to the Gaming Careers Podcast, a weekly live stream covering all of the news and live streaming and creating. Sorry, let me do that again. I'm a bit caught off guard here by Ben having to set up early and our time zones are different. So let me hit that again. A weekly live stream covering all the news from the live streaming and content creation industry. You can tell that I've done this many times before, can't you, Ben? On today's episode, we'll be chatting about the exciting announcement from YouTube about all of the new features they've been working on for streamers, which they're going to be releasing throughout 2022. We'll also be covering the Q3 industry report from Stream Hatchet and sharing all of the updates on various hot topics that we discussed last week. For any new watchers and listeners, this is a live show that we do every single Monday here on YouTube, so please do feel free to join in the chat. Let us know your thoughts on the topics we're discussing. Ben and I are always looking to highlight certain comments from the chat, so please do get involved in the conversation. Speaking of which, since I'm fumbling around with my words, Ben, how are you doing, mate? How was your Halloween?
I'm doing good, man. Yeah, it's our first Halloween where we actually had trick-or-treaters, I think, so that was kind of cool. Not a ton of candy people took, but some over here. But I've been good. And yeah, you can always blame my time zone issues for your word stumbling. I'll allow that on the podcast today. How was your Halloween, Pete? How you been doing?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't really do much for Halloween. We did some pumpkins and had some trick-or-treaters. And then we quite quickly ran out of sweets. And then you have to like turn down these kids that arrive at your door in cute outfits and you're like, we've got no more sweets, I'm sorry. So it was all right. We don't really celebrate it anywhere near as seriously over here in the UK as you guys do in the States. But plenty of news, and we often say that there's plenty of news, but this week we were cutting things out that we thought we wouldn't have time to talk about, so let's dive straight into it. And usually how we like to start these things is by covering some previous updates that we've covered in previous pods. So there have been a few updates. Maybe we can start with Reflect, which if you listen to last week's episode, you probably remember what this was. I'll bring up the screen share here for the people watching live. Reflect was Valkyrae's, I want to say invention, but it wasn't an invention in the end, was it? It was a new product that she brought out, a skincare brand that was meant to reflect a harmful blue light, which you could get from sitting in front of your monitor. It had massive community backlash. You know, it was talked about for basically a full week by streamers and all the streamer news type people. And effectively, they've just shut it down after 2 years of working on it, apparently, Ben. So what are your thoughts on this? This is, as we said last week, how you don't launch a new product with no research, and also how you don't really deal with the community backlash. But what did you think when you saw this going down?
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of surprised how fast this happened, because it sounded like that Valkyrae was going to be stuck in the contract for a while. But then I also heard that maybe she missed a contract or two, and that's what let her supposedly move out of this thing, because I think it's completely gone now. You can't even buy the product anymore. It's not like they just dropped the endorsement with Valkyrae. It's just off the market. So, but I think it's definitely because of the response from everyone on Twitch of thinking it was a scam or just the execution of it all with the research. So, I mean, it's great for Valkyrae, honestly, because she's not going to be stuck with this product if all the negativity that came out afterwards with everything that happened.
Yeah, I saw there was some like leaked screenshots of her conversations with other top streamers, and it just seemed that she was in a real bad place. Like, yeah, as soon as she found out that the research couldn't be publicized, she started to have her doubts and she didn't want to be associated with it. So she was just trying to get out of the contract. So this probably is best case. Hopefully she can come back from it and still be a successful streamer, because she has done a lot for both female streamers and streaming on alternative platforms like YouTube. So hopefully she does come back from it. But yeah, there's definitely some lessons to be learned. I know that she will have learned a lot of lessons from it, and hopefully you can apply those to you as probably a smaller creator as well. What else do we have from last week? Ben, you managed to capture a screenshot for us of the rewind feature. So we're bringing up that screenshot here with a nice handily drawn red arrow to point your eyes to what you've seen. Can you describe what happened when you clicked these different buttons, and was it just on this one stream that you saw, or was it on your account no matter what stream you saw these on?
Yeah, so a couple of things. First of all, I only saw this when streamers were actually live, so not on the offline version of the page. But it was for almost every channel that I was visiting on this account while going across the site. And it's all three buttons. So rewind the stream, remind me, and watch trailer. And so the two buttons, rewind the stream and watch trailer, they kind of do the whole picture-in-picture thing that they do for ads on Twitch, where it moves the screen to the top right corner. And then it'll show you in the replay, it'll show you that little two-minute section replay of whatever's 2 minutes ago. And then the trailer, same thing. It'll show your channel trailer on the main video area with the live stream still in the top right. So that seems like a kind of cool execution. We've talked about we'd like to see more with Rewind, not just 2 minutes, but at least it's a new feature that I've seen on my account. Maybe you guys have seen as well. The other thing with Remind Me is Remind Me goes off of your schedule you have listed on the stream. So if you click that, you can actually opt into a reminder for the next time the person goes live if they stick to their schedule on the page. So another cool feature, and I don't know if this is rolled out to everybody on Twitch yet or if it's just my account. Did you have it on yours, Pete?
I haven't actually looked, but I do have a question about that. Do you know how the reminder comes through? Is this, if you have the app installed, you get a notification on your phone, or is it like a browser-based notification, or is it an email? Like, do you know what actually how the viewer would be reminded if they click that?
That is a good question, and I'm not sure. I'll investigate while I do the podcast today and see if I can figure it out here in real time.
Multitask.
Yeah, as we go.
I'll run the stream, and you just do all the hard work behind the scenes, making sure we can actually talk about the features properly. So yeah, we did talk about this probably the last two or three pods. There's been murmurs of this, and some people have seen it, but it's always good when one of us two actually sees it out in the wild and gets to test the features. So hopefully Ben will be able to get back to us about what the reminder actually looks like. I reckon it's probably going to be linked to your account. So if you have the phone app, you're going to get a notification, and maybe you get an email if you don't have the phone app, would be my guess. The final thing, and probably the most controversial that's been talked about quite a lot, is the Boost This Streamer experiment, which everyone thought the PR from it was so bad that there is no possible way that Twitch could continue releasing this feature. Well, the experiment is ongoing. Zach Bussey has managed to find and screenshot some examples of this now out in the live, and some of the details that he's managed to uncover for us. So it's only the contributions to be able to boost a streamer right now are only available in the US, and it's only for certain creators. And there is a maximum that you can boost a stream with of $500. And there's some numbers here of 99 cents for 1,000 impressions. Let me get the right word. Yeah, impressions. $2.97 for 3,000 impressions, or $4.95 for 5,000 impressions. So effectively, for the same as a subscription, you can get 5,000 impressions for a streamer. Obviously, the streamer doesn't make any of that money, and you're hoping that these impressions are going to be worth it for the streamer in the long haul. I mean, I'm kind of surprised that this has gone through, but I think there are some pros and cons to it. He has actually followed up with a couple of tweets, which I think are quite useful. And I think he did a video about it as well, where we pulled out some stats. He said that in the test, it wouldn't be available to any streamers over 250 concurrent viewers. So I know a lot of people's concerns were about big streamers being able to, you know, just stay on top by using this feature. People like XQC, like, what's stopping his audience who already support him financially very regularly from just keeping him on the front page by boosting his stream over and over? Well, in the tests anyway, it's been limited to people with less than 250 concurrent viewers, which is a huge portion of Twitch's website. So there's still going to have to be some way of, you know, managing who gets to be able to be boosted at what times and how this appears. There was also some more details, Ben, I don't know if you saw, of where this would be shown. So this isn't actually necessarily on the left-hand bar of the Twitch where it says recommended channels. This would actually be with a thumbnail below the carousel, the top carousel on Twitch. So you would be getting a thumbnail, so it's a bit more prominent than we initially might have thought. Ben, we share opinions way too often on this podcast, and we have to try and push each other to play devil's advocate a bit more, but you've got to be have the same stance on this, and surprised that this is being pushed forward.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, to your point, it's good that, so this is just a test so far. I think it's only even like 25 accounts that I've gotten this feature. Based on what Zach was saying, I think it was 18 affiliates and 7 partners or something. So they're really targeting affiliates with this, which is good. And there is the cap of 250-ish viewers. So it's not going to just be the whales on Twitch using all this feature. But it's still, with all the negative reception, even when they just announced from this Zach's tweet of this going live, I mean, if you look at the quote retweets, I can't see your numbers, but I think it's way bigger than the likes on that tweet. Mm-hmm. So that just tells you that there's still a lot of negative reception around this kind of thing. And a lot of YouTubers I saw talking about this feature too, and just how much they disagree with it. Even Tim talking about this and how glad he was he left Twitch after this happening. So I don't know. It is better than we thought initially, but still the whole idea of paying for discoverability versus just, you know, using an algorithm or actually optimizing your content, it just doesn't strike me right. Plus, you don't get the actual viewership they're not actually helping you as a streamer versus just giving money to Twitch with this. And it's impressions. It's not even guaranteed clicks or anything. So it just doesn't feel like it's fully thought out still, even though they make a little bit of improvement to it.
Yeah, it's a weird one because I can understand the thought process behind a viewer wanting to help their favorite streamer make it. Because a lot of smaller streamers, people with less than 250 concurrents, will be trying to push to make it their full-time job. And, you know, with all the leaks that we've had of streamer salaries, and we've seen how small of a percentage of people are actually making minimum wage, or minimum wage in the US anyway, as a streamer. You know, it used to be that if you were a partner, you were pretty much guaranteed to be able to be full-time, but that's just not the case anymore. So you can understand the point of view from the viewer wanting to support their favorite streamer. But it just feels a little bit weird that Twitch is like preying on an audience and taking money from them, which is completely separate to you. Like, you don't have any say in that. And then it's not even guaranteed that it's going to help you. It might get you impressions, but we all know that live streaming and click-through rates isn't the same as YouTube and click-through rates or any of these other platforms. So it's a tricky one.
I do want to say, Zach is actually, he's monitoring all 25 of these streamers somehow. He's really going in depth with this stuff and seeing like what the difference is from the feature and how it impacts viewership and that kind of stuff. And it seems like it's not too crazy yet. So I'm sure we'll be following Zach and hopefully Twitch and not third-party sources on how this stuff goes out in the future. But I don't know. It seems like I said, there's got to be more thought to it because it's really just that one spot on the front page too, right? It's not like they have multiple spots or something. So how are they possibly going to scale this out to hundreds and thousands of streamers beyond just this 25-person test? I don't know. It seems like it's so early.
They must have done the maths based on how big their front page viewership is and how they can alternate that based on streamer to streamer. But we'll follow this as Zach's research comes out, I guess. And if I ever get to see the option not being based in the US, then you best know that I'm putting $500 down to see the impact that I can have on a streamer's income. So that's catching up from previous week's news. I think probably let's move on to Pokimane's big news. Sort of teased this and everyone was like, oh my gosh, she's going to YouTube. Not quite as exciting as that, but she has announced that she started her own talent management firm. This was kind of interestingly timed because it was right at the same time as like one of her supposed best friends, Valkyrae, was going through probably the worst launch of a product ever with a brand. So a lot of people were memeing on that. But this has been a space, I think, on YouTube that has expanded to be relatively decent now, like being having talent management and being represented for brand deals and things like that. So it's nice to see Pokimane taking like a lead role in this for a company and for streamers as well. The website doesn't really have that much info to share. Sort of just looks like a pretty standard a brand or talent management company. Like right now, who we work with is just Pokimane. But I'm sure that through her contacts, they're going to be signing up all kinds of people. Because there's really, I think there's only a few major agencies that work with the top creators on Twitch. So more diversity in that is definitely going to be a good thing. But I don't think this necessarily impacts the smaller streamers that much. Like at the end of the day, to be able to be working with brands are going to want viewership or eyeballs or, you know, engaged audiences. And some brands are very open to working with smaller creators, but I would be surprised if that was the route that they're going to go here.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I mean, I think the concept is cool. The whole mission for doing this is she wants to help creators avoid some of the pitfalls that she went into as sort of like one of the person to pave the path of sponsorships. So I think the idea is cool if she actually helps out with that kind of thing. Like you said, it was kind of ironic that this came out right after the whole Valkyrae and Reflect thing, because that was the perfect example of a sponsorship gone bad when you didn't know something was involved, which kind of helped Pokimane. I can't imagine she timed that on purpose, but you never know. But yeah, like you said, I think it's mostly for the bigger streamers in terms of talent agency. The one thing that's kind of cool, if you guys are Smash Bros. Fans, is I guess this agency manages Evo too, to some extent. So there might be some impact on fighting games, which is interesting. And I've seen people even lobbying her to help get Melee back in Evo, stuff like that. So I guess if you're a Melee streamer, that could have some impact on you. But in terms of the agency stuff, it's going to be definitely towards the higher end of Twitch, I think.
Do you have much experience in terms of agencies and things like that? Like when you've been, because obviously you work with Lenovo and lots of brands that Lenovo sponsors you're involved in. For the viewers watching the live stream, obviously audio people can't hear, but representing TSM today with a TSM hoodie. So do you have any experience in that side of things, or is it a bit of a different role in the workspace?
Yeah, to an extent. I don't work as much directly with influencers on Twitch and YouTube versus the community in general. But I definitely have worked with some agencies who represent creators. So I'm still learning that process from the corporate side. It's weird to be on the other side of that to an extent when I've been on the creator side in the past. But I think the good news is that they're getting more familiar with this space. And I feel like we're seeing things like this happen more often, where there are bigger agencies or just more options for creators with people who actually know how to represent their interests. Because a lot of times people who work at agencies used to be creators or have some experience in that field now, so they can actually better represent you for negotiations and things like that. So I think that's been encouraging to see from my side.
Great. Thanks for sharing that, Ben. I've got another question for you, because earlier this week, I messaged you on Discord because a feature that both of us have wanted for a long time is the ability to add links to our Instagram stories. And this used to be for creators with 10,000 followers or more, which neither of us unfortunately have. But you know, if you don't follow either of us on Instagram, then our links are shown on screen right now. But this has now finally come out. Well, it came out for me. I don't know if you yet have access. So that's my first question is do you now have access to links on Instagram stories, Ben?
So for context, guys, Pete got this feature like days ago and flexed it on me basically the whole week, because for some reason I did not get this feature till literally yesterday. And so he was posting stories all week with his links, and I was just mad because I don't know why I didn't get the feature and he did first, but I do have it now. And I think we used it both this morning for the, or mm-hmm. this afternoon for the podcast stuff. So it's a nice feature to have for everyone now, which is great.
You're making it sound like I'm constantly promoting brands the whole time. I'm linking to useful things like new videos that I've uploaded or newsletter or this podcast, Ben. But you know, I'm not one of those Instagram accounts that's constantly tagging the restaurant that I'm in or the food that I'm eating or the protein shake.
Not
that
yet.
I'm drinking.
But yeah, now you've got that. Now you've got the links. You're gonna be drunk with power pretty soon, just tagging everything.
Exactly. People will unfollow me. I'll go back down below the new threshold to be able to get links. No, but the point from this is that anybody now who uses Instagram and uses the stories feature can now post links. And I just think it's really handy. The amount of times that I had to do link in bio and then update the bio links just to be able to link people to like a new video or something like that. It's so much easier now that I can directly send people to YouTube or podcasts or things like that from Instagram stories. But I know not everybody cares about Instagram stories. They did announce a couple other features, one of which you were particularly excited about. So I'll quickly touch on that, and then maybe you can explain why you're so excited about it. But the ability to post photos and videos from a desktop browser directly to Instagram.
Yeah, I'm very excited about this. I mean, this is, so they actually did an announcement video with all these new Instagram updates, and they called this one a finally feature, which I completely agree with. I mean, it was so weird that you couldn't post on Instagram from desktop for the longest time. I think even TikTok, you can do it from desktop, I'm pretty sure. So Instagram was really the last one to enable this. Now, I think it's only just posts on your feed and not Reels, as far as I know, but maybe there's Reels as well. But I'm just one who works completely off of desktop if I can. So if I can get away from the whole like, throw it to Drive and then download it on my phone and then repost it on my phone, it's going to save so much time for posting stuff on there. So I love this feature.
Yeah. To answer your question, I did try it earlier and it is currently just for posts. So kind of annoying, because I feel like as of late, Instagram's bigger features have been stories and now Reels. Mm-hmm. So it'd be nice if they add those in. I'm sure they will do over time. But I'm just thinking of the social media managers out there, because I know there's a lot of people doing that job nowadays in 2021 who had to constantly, you know, log into an account on their phone just to be able to do things for work. Whereas for Twitter and all these other platforms, you could just do it from a desktop browser. Now they can do it all from a desktop browser. And the final feature was going live. You can now schedule your live streams on Instagram. I've got to admit, I haven't watched many people go live on Instagram. You do get like a notification, and if you're ever on the app, you like see it at the very start of your stories. So it's a good way to increase engagement. But you can now actually schedule live streams up to 90 days in advance. So one day we should probably try live streaming this podcast. We've got to work out some kind of vertical format to do it. Maybe I just use like an Elgato multi-mount and have my phone there and then stream my point of view and somehow get your audio in. I don't know. We've got to test these things. That's our job here, really. But a nice little trio of Instagram updates for people that still use that as a platform, but which both Ben and I do. Speaking of platforms, Ben, and I don't know how long we can really discuss this for, but it seemed to take the world by storm, which was the news of Facebook renaming their parent company to Meta. Now, initially, all the news that I saw around this was that Facebook was renaming to Meta, but actually Facebook and all the other apps that they own, Instagram, Messenger, WhatsApp, are all going to remain with the same names. It's just the parent company is going to be called Meta, and they talk about in their tweet, and I've seen like the live stream or the video that they did, they're wanting to build out this metaverse, a place where people can play and connect in 3D. So my real question to you is, seeing this announcement, do you see any of this affecting Facebook's live stream platform? Because we're going to be talking about that in a bit more detail later on. But right. they're talking about how big of a focus this is, that this metaverse going forward, and they're really focusing on games being played here and connecting in 3D. Yeah. So is this going to be any effect on live streaming, or is it more boring than that?
I mean, I think the name change is not really going to affect Facebook at all, because Facebook isn't changing. It's still Facebook with the app. It's just the Facebook company is now Meta. So I don't think Facebook streamers are really going to be affected by this. Once the metaverse hits, if that's going to be, you know, a big booming thing soon, I think that could be a big difference maker. And I think that would really, not just for Facebook, but across the board, change of live streaming in general, if metaverse really takes off. But I don't know if Facebook is really going to be the one to do that, if they're trying to force it versus it happening naturally. So we'll have to see. And it is kind of weird. They just renamed and nothing really changes besides the overall brand name. People thought maybe this is to get away from negative PR, things like that. But Facebook as an app isn't changing. So it just seems like sort of a weird choice to me. I guess they really just want to be at the forefront of this metaverse thing, and they're really betting hard on it, basically.
Yeah, I wonder if the metaverse itself is just going to be Facebook products inside, or if you're going to be able to, you know, like
exactly.
Watch Twitch streams in VR, you know, with your mates, or it's just going to be locked down. Who knows? But when I saw this, like, I saw so many people talking about it, and I was like, isn't this just a rebrand of the umbrella company? It was like when Google renamed their umbrella company to be Alphabet, and I was like, it doesn't actually change anything that I can see so far. But I had like friends of mine who are less tech savvy, let's say, real life friends messaging me who work in like investments, being like, what is a metaverse? So they were so desperate to find out, like, this Facebook news that was breaking everywhere, is it going to completely change how we live our lives? And I was like, no, I don't think so. No. So anyway, yeah, we'll follow that and see if Facebook's live streaming changes at all through their new metaverse. One last thing to touch on in terms of platform updates, I feel like, is Twitch's update to, well, this isn't Twitch's update, actually. This is a scandal that Twitch is probably well aware of now, that has been doing the rounds, and I certainly saw it quite a bit on my Twitter feed this week, which is that there's a scandal going on. Jake Lucky is reporting this as being in the Turkish scene, but I feel like I've seen emails that are all in euros, so I don't know if it's necessarily just limited to Turkey, but effectively emails going out to Twitch streamers saying, can, you know, we donate a whole load of bits for you, then when you withdraw that money in your Twitch payout, you give us a small portion of that back. And apparently the leak that went out about a week and a half ago with all the creators' paychecks is what has allowed people to investigate this a bit further, because there's a lot of really, really small streamers with not very high concurrent viewers earning a lot of money from bits. And so this is effectively money laundering. So there's been a couple of posts here. The second one that we're going to bring up is an example of this email that's been going out. For the podcast listeners, I'll just sum it up quickly. An email to a Twitch streamer. Hi, are you interested in Twitch Corporation? We offer you payments from 200 euros and above. Minimal effort is required from your end. Our team will top up your Twitch balance by using bits and Twitch Prime subscriptions. You'll keep 30% of the total revenue earned, and the rest you'll have to transfer to us by credit card transfer or PayPal. So, I mean, this just screams of money laundering, and it's a problem that I'm sure Twitch is aware of, especially now that it's sort of been doing the rounds on social media. I don't necessarily know what they can do, but as soon as money laundering is involved, they're going to have to be able to crack down on it somehow. So maybe there's some signals that they can work out from based which accounts this is being used on, but it's just something to inform people of. If you get an email like this, seems too good to be true, you're never going to get a brand or somebody approaching you asking you to have to transfer them money at the end of the day. So just be aware of this that's going around and make sure that you have your wits about you. Any brand deals that you get, just, you know, share them with your streamer mates and ask their opinion. Yep. There's no rush to sign your name on a contract like we discussed last week. But don't know if you have anything you want to talk about on that, Ben, or if you want to go straight into the Streamlabs and Stream Hatchet reports.
Yeah, I mean, I just really quick, I think it's interesting that this only came about because of the Twitch leak. This is weirdly one of the things that I guess in a way is good that came out of Twitch leak. Otherwise, we never would have known about it. So that's the silver lining to that whole thing. I'm just amazed that people even opted into this, because if I got this email in my inbox, I would assume this was, you know, some prince trying to send me money and needs $300 to get the fee or something. I would never opt into this kind of thing. So I'm amazed people do it, but clearly people made some money off of it based on the earnings we saw from the leak. So yeah, if you get this kind of thing, obviously don't opt into that, because apparently it's more widespread than we were thinking.
Yeah, and effectively it's what it's being reported as anyway is it's stolen credit cards. They're using those to buy Twitch bits, send them to certain streamers who are going to withdraw that money and send some of it back to them. So it's completely fraudulent. But just be aware of emails like that. And maybe if you do get one, send it onto Twitch so they can hopefully crack down on it a bit quicker. Right. So onto the interesting discussions. The main one being the Streamlabs and Stream Hatchet Q3 report. We always cover these kind of things, don't we, Ben? So let's bring up the screen share. And there's two different reports. You can sort of get the baseline one, which is from Streamlabs, and it's very high level, or you can, I think, put your email into an inbox and actually get the full detail report from Stream Hatchet. So where do you want to start? Let's start maybe with the Streamlabs one. Which bits do you want to cover?
Yeah, we can get through Streamlabs first and just work our way down through the report, I think. Like Pete said, we always go through this each quarter just because it's really interesting to keep track of the trends each quarter to quarter. So the first one is Twitch, I believe, on this chart. And the biggest thing, obviously, is just total hours watched per quarter on Twitch, which is down for the first time, I think, in a year that they've actually lost some viewership. It's a little bit less than both last quarters, which makes sense, just given, and the trend you'll see through a lot of this is that people are going back to work and back to school, and COVID is kind of lesser than it was in the last year, thankfully. But that also means that viewership is down a little bit across the board. So that makes sense, seeing the trend. Honestly, I was surprised that Twitch even saw more viewership last quarter because I thought that would have hit earlier. So I think this was inevitable, especially with just how crazy Twitch's growth was in the last year compared to previous years.
Yeah, I mean, if you actually compare it to Q3 of 2020, it's still up quite a substantial amount. So you can sometimes you can get lost in looking at it quarter by quarter. And maybe, you know, people going back to school, like the summer holidays is obviously a big thing for live streaming. So usually Q2 is pretty good, Q2 into Q3 anyway. But then, yeah, like you said, it's a dip, and we're seeing that dip kind of across all platforms, except for Facebook, which we'll get onto in just a second. But always interesting to look at total hours watched. And then also total hours stream has gone down again on Twitch. So streamers are streaming less, or less streamers are streaming on the platform. Unique channels, actually, let's get straight onto that, is down. So we're seeing less people streaming to Twitch. Still, there's still thousands and thousands of viewers, of streamers with 0 to 5 viewers. So, you know, it is getting more unique to stream on Twitch, but it's nowhere near at the point where people are like, oh, there's only 10 streamers on Twitch, like it was 10 years ago. and then the average concurrent viewership is also down. So this is the first time, really, that we've seen since the pandemic starts, I feel like, that there's been a bit of drop-off on Twitch as a platform, but where there isn't any drop off, then is on Facebook, and that's actually second in the report now that it has technically overtaken YouTube.
Yeah, I mean, this Facebook continues to be the unicorn, I think, with all this stuff, and I think it really gets slept on because I keep hearing people say, you know, Facebook is dead, and you can't compare it to the R2, but Facebook is just the only one that consistently raises viewership every single month. And I think it has a lot to do with the worldwide aspect of their audience and just how accessible Facebook is, also to older demographics probably than Twitch and YouTube. So it kind of makes sense. Now, interestingly, the total hours streamed is down this quarter on Facebook, but the viewership has kept growing consistent with the last year. There's no slowdown on that. So that's actually good if you're a streamer, theoretically, because that means there's more people to watch your stuff and less competition. So that should mean higher average viewership for the entire group. And that's what you see if you go down a little further. Average concurrent viewers have gone up consistently, just like overall watch time. So Facebook, I don't know, man. We keep talking about it. We have to give it a proper trial because it's not slowing down, really.
He just pointed out in chat that, Ben, you're going to get sued now because we need to be referring to it as Meta.
Oh, sorry.
Meta Live. I don't know if Facebook Live is going to be rebranded. But it does feel like if they're trying to branch out like and separate Facebook from Messenger, then maybe they're going to try and separate the live platform as well. Who knows? Yeah, I also find that interesting. Like for me, and I don't know if this is like an English speaking thing that we don't consider Facebook Live to be a huge platform, but we don't see big streamers going from Twitch to Facebook other than Disguised Toast, which was a couple of years ago now. We really see the moves from Twitch to YouTube and maybe a few from YouTube back to Twitch and like streamers starting on Twitch. So I wonder how much of the Facebook market is other speaking languages, because I know Facebook is like absolutely huge in South America. And the user base is obviously massive, the amount of users that they have on Facebook. But we really do need to research it more to find out a bit more about this. One thing I'm just going to swap over to the Stream Hatchet report, because one of the stats that I saw on this, if you excuse me scrolling down quite a bit, was the top streamers in Q3 of 2021. We see XQC up at the top, which I think most people would have guessed. And all of these streamers are actually on Twitch. So I don't know if this is only looking at Twitch or if this is just how the actual results came out. But if we look at the top five, four of the top five are non-English. So XQC is English, but then the next four aren't English speaking. So we've seen this and we've talked about it quite a few times on the podcast, the growth of streaming outside of the English speaking market. And it can be very easy for us two to sit here and really just talk about the English market. But there is obviously a massive global audience in all kinds of languages and on all kinds of platforms that we have to keep on top of.
Yeah, the other thing I want to call out too is that I think a big driver for Facebook is mobile gaming. And you're seeing it more on other platforms like YouTube too. But in that same Stream Hatchet report, there's the top categories of 2021. And there are three mobile titles in the top 10 most watched. And actually, Garena Free Fire is number four. It is the most viewed battle royale of any. So more so than any console or PC battle royale, this is being watched by people. And I think they said, especially on Facebook and YouTube, these are huge. So that's another trend I think that's not going to go away anytime soon. And I would not be surprised if there are more mobile games that break in this top 10 and eventually push out even like League of Legends, GTA, stuff like that, as that's just such a more accessible way to watch stuff or play stuff for a lot of parts of the world.
Yeah, again, we can't sleep on that, can we? Neither of us are mobile gamers, but maybe I need to download Mobile Legends Bang Bang because it's it's almost half what League of Legends viewership is. And I'm pretty sure that's the like copy clone of League of Legends, but on mobile. And now, obviously, League of Legends has released their own mobile version. So we have to stay on top of it. There's no excuses. We need to realize how big this is, how big this market is now, and how many different platforms and even mediums people are consuming this on. And mobile is a huge, huge part of that. Anything else you want to highlight from either of the reports? I can jump around and sort of show what you want to show.
Yeah, I think the last thing is YouTube. We should talk a little bit about the trends for that too on just the main Streamlabs report. So YouTube actually has been trending down with total hours watched over the past year, which is interesting because Twitch has been almost up and Facebook too. So YouTube's sort of the weird one out where it's had less watch time. Most dramatically last year around this time, it dropped a lot and it's sort of been like a slow decrease for audio listeners here ever since. So nothing crazy. Total hours streamed is also sloping down quite a lot, actually. I think they're almost at their lowest in the last 2 years now, which is really interesting considering we just had the Tim news and Dr. Lupa moving over, and we're going to talk more about YouTube in a second here. So I guess maybe they're just taking it more seriously now, considering what they're seeing with trends overall. But it's weird because even though I see these downward trends for YouTube, I feel more optimistic for YouTube than ever before. So I don't know what that's about, but I don't know if you have any thoughts there, Pete.
Yeah, I think it's surprising as well. And if we look at all of these graphs for YouTube, the spike is around the peak of the pandemic, right? Q2 2020. And the thing is with YouTube, I feel like it's such a huge platform as a website on its own that any changes they make to how often live streams get recommended will massively skew this data. So like that's kind of the main argument that people have been making for why stream on YouTube, because as soon as they decide they want to recommend live streams and there's some like discoverability element to it. They have the user base on the website every single day to be able to get to be able to blow Twitch out of the water. And it's just a case of when they think it's worthwhile for their business to, you know, encourage more live streams. And they obviously are the best place people to know when that is from all of the data. But it is surprising to see it go down. And it seems to be around the pandemic. I don't know if a lot of people just wanted to try live streaming peak pandemic and you know, a lot of people lost their jobs or were remotely working, so they maybe had more time to do it. But the decline is definitely slowing down, isn't it? And we're going to see, and we're going to talk a lot about YouTube's updates coming in 2022 in just a second, which will really, I think, put it on par with Twitch. So it'll be interesting to see how that affects the numbers when we're going into Q1, Q2 next year. Any other thoughts, Ben?
No, yeah, I agree. I think we'll probably see YouTube trend up next quarter, if I had to guess, just based on, again, what we're about to talk about. And the really big thing I just want to call out is mobile gaming is creeping up. So keep an eye on that, because I think it's going to keep making a dent, especially on Facebook and YouTube. But I think even on Twitch, you're going to see it kind of make a big jump. So if you're into mobile gaming, I would definitely try that out if you're looking for something new to try out.
Talking about something new to try out, Ben, we have a first here on the Gaming Careers podcast, which I hope viewers are going to be really excited about, because it means that the show can keep going for longer. We have our first ever sponsor for the podcast. We've been doing this show together for roughly a year now. And thanks to all the people that have been watching and listening on podcasting apps and things like that, we started to have a couple of brands reach out and want to sponsor some content. So bear with us whilst we thank the sponsor of today's podcast, which is Manscaped. For those of you that don't know, I have a little spiel that I can read off here. Support for the Gaming Careers podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below the waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision engineered tools for your family jewels, and they just launched their fourth generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. And as part of this, both Ben and I have received one of their kits with lots of different goodies in. So Ben, you've received that now, have you?
Yeah, I did. It was came pretty quickly, actually, after they shipped it out. But there's a lot of stuff in there. I was surprised by just how much they packed into the package there.
Yeah, exactly. And like, branding was absolutely on point. Yes. My partner was surprised when like a box turned up to our house with big letters saying "Your balls will thank you." I think she thought for a second, like, what has he been ordering? I think it also came to Gaming Careers, so it was like really suspicious. But yeah, a really great great kit that came through. I mean, in the kit, I think the kit itself is called the Performance Pack 4.0. We received the Lawnmower, which is their legendary new precision tool, the Weed Whacker for nose and ear hair, deodorant, toner, wash bag, and boxers. And the good news from this sponsorship is that you can also join the other 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with an exclusive offer of 20% off and free worldwide shipping with code GAMINGCAREERS at manscaped.com. So get yourself the kit at 20% off with free worldwide shipping with the code GAMINGCAREERS at manscaped.com. I don't think that was too bad, Ben. You know, we've got to be honest with our audience and say that it's awesome that they've helped us get to the point where sponsors want to come onto the podcast. So hopefully they can also enjoy the sponsors' discounts if you're ever looking to get something for yourself or for your partner. If you're a female watching this show, then hopefully the little discount that we can get through the sponsors can help out with that. But let's jump into unless you've got
I was going to say they support a cool cause too, especially just raising awareness for testicular cancer and how to check for that kind of thing. So it's a really cool passion that they're supporting, and some high quality stuff. So thanks to Manscaped again for supporting the show. I appreciate that a lot.
We'll be talking more about them in future episodes, definitely. But let's wrap it up with the big topic that obviously the thumbnail of this podcast is from, and that is YouTube's new features for 2022. So let me come across to this here. Again, I seem to be the beneficiary of being awake at the right time and writing one of the first tweets about this. So Ryan Wyatt, I think is how you say his name, the head of YouTube Gaming, sort of shared a blog post and a video about some new updates coming from 2022. So I went through that and sort of put together a tweet of some of the new features that are going to be in... Have I got the right title there? I haven't. There we are. That are going to be released in 2022, and we're going to talk about some of those here. But yeah, it's always nice when you're like the person that tweets and then got 800 likes on the tweet, which is pretty big for my account. lots of people sharing excitement about YouTube gaming. So here's the blog post and some of the things that they talk about. They sort of do a recap, don't they, of 2021. You know, YouTube's numbers always just absolutely insane when they're talking about video views, because they have just such a big VOD platform, and gaming is such a big portion of that. And yeah, some of the highlights that they put in this blog post, the amount of different ways that you can make money on YouTube now with ads, YouTube Premium, Super Chat, Super Sticker, Super Thanks, memberships, merch, ticketing, Brand Connect, and funds. I think on this channel, really, it's just ads. Oh, and Super Chat, obviously, we have enabled on our live stream. And mm-hmm. I think Super Thanks are now enabled on the videos. I've seen a few people doing those on the video, so thanks very much for that. But we probably should sort out memberships at some point so that the loyal viewers who tune into this podcast every week can join a low membership tier if they wish to. But the most interesting bit of all of this blog post, if we keep scrolling down, was some of the new features that they talked about. So the two big ones from my point of view, and because I sent out the tweet, I saw so many people retweeting it and celebrating two of the big features. So I think the two ones that people are most psyched about are gifted memberships, which is exactly the same as gifted subscriptions on Twitch. So yeah, you can gift somebody a membership on a channel. And the other one is leaving my brain right now. Oh, host some raids. So like the raid functionality from Twitch, where you can end your stream by raiding a different channel. They called it something really funny. I'm going to try and pull it out here. Where is it? Live redirects.
Yeah, that's it.
I love how they can never use the same name, can they, as Twitch. And like Twitch has spent like a couple of meetings coming up with the best name, and then YouTube's there like, damn it. They've used the best name. Like Raids was such a good name that they have to come up with something subpar. And everyone just uses the Twitch name because it was the first one to build the feature. But effectively, exactly. Those two features, things that people have been asking about for a while. And throughout this year, we've seen YouTube release lots of new features that people have been asking about, you know, sub-only mode for chat and things like that, clips. And we're still waiting for that to be like rolled out fully. But it's good to see that they are working on the things that the big streamers must be asking about, because there is no chance that Tim the Tapman and Dr. Lupo join, and Valkyrae and Courage and all these other streamers join to exclusively stream on the platform, and they're not raising the features that they miss from Twitch. Like, they have to be, and it's good to see that YouTube is working on. So those two features, Ben, any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, so gifted subs, I think, are one of the biggest things in a while. Gifted membership, sorry. I think I heard from Tim and Lupo that when they moved over, that was one of the things that they specifically asked on and heard it was being worked on. So we kind of knew it was coming, but really good to see the confirmation that it is coming in this kind of post. I mean, we've talked about a lot before how YouTube has the easier problem here in terms of fixing features and UI that are always going to be way easier to solve than a viewer base and attention problem. So this kind of stuff feels like it's going to come eventually, like you said, to catch up to what Twitch is doing, even though it might be called something differently. I think, honestly, the thing that really excites me about this in general is just the way that they rolled it out. Not even the features per se, but the fact that they had Ryan, you know, he was actually on Twitter asking, like, what guys do you want to hear us talk about in this post I'm writing? And people were like, Tim, Lupo, other creators were just on there listing off things that they want to hear about with YouTube. And he writes this blog post and video. He's on the video himself talking about, like, what rolling out, how it's coming. And I just really miss that kind of thing on Twitch. I miss having someone who can really come on and represent and have two-way communication with people who are on the platform. So I think it's a really good sign. Plus, they really baked out like the next 5 years of ambition with YouTube, which again is why I think I'm more excited for YouTube than I have been in a long time, even though we saw the downward viewership trend. So I think this blog post is awesome. It's not super detailed on like dates and things when that's coming, so you could knock it on that side. But I think the intention so far seems really good to me, and I'm pretty excited for it overall.
Yeah, I totally agree with you about having somebody speaking out about it. Like Emmett just isn't. He's like Facebook's lead, isn't he? Like Mark, and you can't connect with that kind of robotic style at all. Whereas Ryan just seemed like. He just seems like a really cool, driven dude who knows what is required to make YouTube as big as Twitch as a live streaming platform. It's worth mentioning some of the other tools that are covered more so in his video than they were in the blog post. One of the really cool ones I thought was the editing tool. So he specifically talked about how YouTube now has multiple different forms of video. So you have traditional video, 16:9, you have live streams, which are largely 16 by 9. And then you have shorts and stories and things like that. And he was talking about how he wanted to help streamers turn their clips into shorts and building some tools to help automate that. And, you know, we've seen different tools like CrossClip that help you turn live stream clips into vertical videos for those kind of platforms. But if you can actually build that feature on the site and then help promote those reels or different forms of video, then the whole ecosystem is going to be working for YouTube, because people are going to want to live stream on the platform because it helps grow their VOD library, and then the clips are going to help them get discovered more, and especially if they're in short form. Like, it's all going to be working to help push your channel out to a relevant audience. And that's really that discoverability that you might be able to get on YouTube for live streamers is probably going to be a massive selling point moving forward. Totally agree with you. It was super annoying that they didn't share any dates, but that's pretty classic for a big company that can't promise like when things are going to be out. I just hope that when they say it's coming in 2022, we're not talking about Q4 of 2022. And a couple of other things to mention, Ben, is they also mentioned moderation tools and chat experience improvements. So I know that probably the main complaint people have with the YouTube live streaming experience is like chat. And I guess mods probably also complain about the mod side of things, but they're certainly aware of it and building tools out for 2022. So yeah, it's exciting, isn't it? We obviously run this live stream on YouTube, or at least we do this year, and we'll probably talk again when it comes to 2023. What do we want to do? If we want to do it on Twitch or YouTube? But you can't not look at this announcement and think, well, that's exciting. It's kind of like what we used to have from Twitch at their keynote every year, where they talked about 10 features that are coming to the platform next year. So hopefully it pressures Twitch into doing something similar, and we can see, you know, what they're working on behind the scenes. But these are pretty much universally all good things for YouTube, and it doesn't matter that you're copying Twitch, because people want a different platform now.
Yeah, I mean, so like I said earlier, copying the chat experience, things like that, are things that YouTube can do pretty easily based on what's worked. I'm really interested to see what their discoverability process is, because they mentioned that in the article where they've been working on ways to get discoverability. I think that's different because Twitch doesn't necessarily have like the solved version of that right now. And I think Ryan's been pretty vocal about how he doesn't want to just copy what Twitch is doing with the directory and things like that, because he doesn't think it's the best way for discoverability, which I agree with. The thing is, they can't just go build the thing until they know what it is and how to do it. So we'll kind of have to see if YouTube takes a new approach to a directory, or if they just keep doing the whole recommended system, or if they have ideas beyond that. I'm really excited to see over the next year what that looks like.
I think there's definitely, sorry, I keep getting croaky here. Let me clear my throat.
I'm the same way.
I haven't drunk enough water today, clearly. Too many sweets from Halloween. But there are, especially with their editing tools that they talk about, that whole like system of maybe building clips into shorts, like if they can find out a way of making that super browsable, and you know how shorts is right now, where people are spending hours on the platform just swiping through shorts, like if that can link back to live streams in some cool ways, I trust YouTube with that side of things way more than Twitch. Like Twitch has had years to build the ability to browse clips on their mobile app or like any of these features, and they haven't done it. So they kind of seem stuck in their ways of just wanting to be one platform of just live stream content. And YouTube is really trying to tackle that head on with multiple different forms of video formats that are working on other platforms. Like they weren't the ones that invented Reels. They've taken that from TikTok. They weren't the ones that invented clips. You know, they've taken that from Twitch, but they're happy to build out the tools that make sense and hopefully build them into a system. So yeah, I get that some people might think that we're kind of biased towards YouTube at the moment, and maybe that's because this show is on YouTube. But I actually think that if Twitch announced what they're working on next year, and it's a lot of cool things that YouTube has, like the ability to pause and rewind rather than just like rewind 2 minutes like they're currently building, mm-hmm. then I'd be stoked about that as well. So hopefully this pressures Twitch in, like I say, to do some kind of announcement about what they're working on next year. But they're still kind of suffering from the Twitch leak news, aren't they? And they're probably hiding under there. They're not tweeting much, are they?
I mean, the other thing I was going to say is I think the reason this is so exciting is because YouTube hasn't done a lot of this thing before. Whereas we've seen Twitch for years now doing new releases and new keynotes and things like this. And in the past 2 years, like nothing has really been that exciting. I feel like there's been a couple things here and there, but YouTube is really swinging for the fences with this blog post and where they want to go. And of course, it's just words. So we have to see them actually execute on it. I think that's the difference between Twitch and YouTube is Twitch has had more at bats and has tried this kind of thing and has lost a little bit of trust with the community versus YouTube being sort of the newish, even though they're older, the new live streaming space and having the excitement factor to it. So YouTube really has to execute on the things they're saying here if they don't want to end up sort of like Twitch's in that situation. So I think it's just a matter of which one has been around more and people have tried out more at this point.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think we've got lots to look forward to in 2022. I kind of hate when it gets to November and everyone just starts talking about their goals for next year. And I'm like, there's still 2 months left. You don't have to delay this. You know, start working on them now. And you don't need this arbitrary date of January the 1st to start working on your goals. But I kind of understand it as well. They're not going to get any of these features out towards the end of this year, but it's worth letting everybody know. And let's hope that we keep seeing this transparency from them because it's great for me and you to be able to talk about what's coming as they release these features as well. Obviously, we'll be covering that on this podcast. I think that probably does it. We're wrapping up to almost an hour here. So thanks, everybody, for joining in the chat and talking with us in detail. Obviously, a big thanks to our first sponsor, Manscaped, of the podcast. And, you know, I know that listeners probably don't want more sponsors, but hopefully we can do them in a fun way for you each week. And it helps, like I said, make sure that this show continues to grow and continues to keep going on. And hopefully we can improve the quality of all these things for you guys. So unless I've missed anything, Ben, I think that's going to be a good evening from me and probably a good morning from you guys.
Yep. And again, for any audio listeners, as always, drop us a question on Twitter, Instagram, Discord. Help get Pete's Instagram number up so he doesn't feel so bad about his number. and let us know what you have questions for because we always take those questions.
Yeah. Well said, Ben. Catch you guys next week. Peace.
See ya.